This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
You're listening to my daddy on News Radio 1070, WINA, Charlottesville. Right now!
Right now!
Right now!
Right now!
Right now! Right now!
Thirty-nine minutes after 4 o'clock. This is Charlottesville.
Right now.
About 66 degrees. The rain continues to fall. My gosh, when will it end? When will summer finally get here? That's the perennial question. All right, let us get a little educated, shall we? Let us learn why everybody is talking about Twitter. And then we have to talk to the person who literally wrote the book on Twitter, and that is Sarah Milstein. She joins us live on the long line from New York, co-author of the new book, The Twitter Book, the definitive guide to the planet's most useful and effective communications channel. Sarah, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Number one, let me say, for folks who think this might be put off by a technology book, this is anything but. This is, and we should point out that you have a background with O'Reilly Media, the folks, and you helped to develop the Missing Manuals books. So this is this is the definition of user-friendly as far as a book about technology.
I'm glad it comes across that way. We tried hard to make it something people would really enjoy reading.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Sarah, let's start with what is Twitter?
Twitter is a messaging system, and it lets you post little updates of 140 characters. That's about the length of a sentence or a headline. And when you post a message to Twitter, it's public. Anybody can read it. And you can do it from your phone, from a cell phone, or from the web. So it's really flexible. And the messages are short, really lightweight.
So it's your own personal headline news service.
That's a great way to think about it.
And anybody can subscribe to your twit or what your...
your tweets.
Is that what? So when you send something over Twitter, it's called a tweet.
Yeah, users have come up with that term, and after a long period of resistance, the company acquiesced and said they're tweets. That's what people call them. That's what we're going to call them.
So I was reading in the bio that you were actually the 21st person ever on Twitter. Is that right?
Yeah. My partner worked at the company that developed it, and he came home one day and said, "You got to try this thing. It's addictive." And it had been live for like 4 hours. And he was right. It was addictive, and it's been really cool to see it grow.
So give us a little background. Who are we talking about? Who is Twitter, and where does it come from?
Twitter was developed. It was the brainchild of Jack Dorsey, who was an engineer at this company, Odeo. He was really inspired by a combination of the status updates in away messages for IM, which let you say why you were away, why you weren't there, and dispatch radio systems that let delivery companies keep track of where everybody is. And he thought if you could put those things together and give people that power, it would really be interesting. And he developed it as a little bit of a side project at Odeo, and before you know it, the side project had taken over the company.
So I know with Facebook, which is a social networking online platform, when you post something to Facebook, that's sort of like a Twitter thing without all the other stuff attached to it, right?
Yeah. Well, interestingly, they're the status updates in Facebook,
right.
Which are very much like the status updates in Twitter. And that feature in Facebook launched the same month that Twitter launched. That idea was kind of in the air all at once.
Interesting.
Like March of 2006. But one significant difference is that on Facebook, when you post things, the only people who see them are other people in your network, people you've given permission to each other to
your
read
Facebook
each other's
friends.
Messages.
Yeah, your friends.
Yeah, your friends, exactly. And your mom could be your friend on Facebook. You know, the term friend is broad, but you've given each other permission. On Twitter, you don't need to give people permission to read what you've written. People can subscribe to your messages or can follow them, as it's called on Twitter, without any permission, and it doesn't have to be mutual. one person can follow somebody who's not following them back.
Interesting. It is the Twitter book, The Definitive Guide to the Planet's Most Useful and Effective Communications Channel. We're talking with co-author Sarah Milstein live from New York. So why Twitter? Give us some examples of why somebody would want to do this. And we should point out, millions of people are doing this. And I was just listening yesterday to a report that Twitter is now replacing MySpace, that MySpace is now falling behind and becoming an also-ran to the Twitter universe.
Well, you know, it's fairly different from MySpace in the sense that it's much easier to get involved and to get some value out of it immediately. You don't have to spend a lot of time getting set up on it. And it's very simple. The feature of Twitter are the messages. And the reason it's proving so popular so quickly is that it turns out to be really useful to people. And it's useful to them personally and professionally. And on the personal side, it tends to be useful because you can post those little "what are you doing" kinds of updates. And people say those are very mundane, and who cares that you're going to get your haircut or what you had for lunch. But people who know you and are following you for a period of time tend to find it really powerful to have a sense of the little details of your life over a period of even a couple weeks. And they really feel a sense of connection. It's lightweight. They don't have to respond, but they can just picture what you're up to in a little way. And people who know about you or care about you tend to love those little personal connections. At the same time, you can use Twitter to share links to things that you think are important or interesting. And in that regard, it's a great professional tool because you can say, you know, here's stuff that's going on in our industry. Here's stuff you should be paying attention to in my industry. Here's something cool to be aware of you might have never seen. And you can share a link and get that out to a lot of people. That's a really useful aspect of it as well.
And when you get these messages, do they come over your computer or your phone or just anything?
You can set it up so that you can get them through your browser, through a client on the web. So in the way you might use Outlook to get email, there are programs for sending and receiving tweets. You can do it on your phone. You can do it in any combination of those things you want. It's super flexible in the delivery mechanisms, which is also part of the power of it. It can fit into anybody's workflow.
And that's probably one reason why it's caught on so quickly. We're talking with Sarah Milstein. The book is The Twitter Book, aptly named. And give us some, we're in Charlottesville. The University of Virginia is here, of course. And I know that there's been some discussions at the university among some of the communications folks to really figure out how can we use Twitter, whether it's the big news office or whether it's the department of so-and-so. Give some examples of how an institution like a university can really take advantage of Twitter at all sort of different levels.
Well, one of the biggest opportunities that Twitter gives you is a chance to humanize your institution and to build some direct communication and direct relationships with your customers or your constituents, your community, however you think about the people who might be your audience or that you want to talk with. There are lots of tools out there for sharing headlines and for just blasting out news. And because there are lots of tools for that already, a lot of organizations come to Twitter thinking, great, another tool for blasting out news. But it turns out that that's not a great use of Twitter. Almost all the organizations who come to Twitter trying to blast out news realize pretty quickly that it's not effective for that. And a primary reason is that people have to choose to get your messages on Twitter. You can't just spam people. You can't just post what you want and expect people to respond. You have to be interesting to them. And people tend to be interested in conversation and in knowing who the humans are behind your organization. So when you get into Twitter and you start posting, if you can do it in a really personal way, you let the people know who the let other Twitterers know who the actual people are behind the account. Share that information in the bio part of your profile. Post personal, not highly personal things, but things that talk about who the people are, what's going on behind the scenes, and giving little updates that let people stay connected. That kind of thing can really be powerful and useful for big organizations that don't have a lot of informal channels for getting information out to a lot of people.
So if I understand you right, the key to Twitter is the informality of it. And if you approach it as an organization that this is that you're going to put your headline there, then you've missed the whole point of Twitter.
Definitely the headlines do miss the point of Twitter. And I think what I would say is that instead of thinking about it as an informal medium, think about it as a personal medium. And the informality is a function of that, because the personal nature of it is what you really want to think about.
So instead of the university perhaps twittering that President John Castine has announced his retirement, you would want rather a tweet from Joe from the news office, hey guys, I'm going to the press conference where we're expecting some big news, and then sort of almost like live blogging, I guess would be a phrase, or twittering the experience of being there and hearing this news for the first time.
Yeah, that would be a great way to think about it, or to share some responses from some different people, to link to some non-official university responses to the retirement, and to ask questions about, you know, what do people want to hear? What do students, what do faculty want to know that they might not be getting through the official channels?
Interesting. Because folks can respond to a tweet, correct?
Yeah, exactly. It turns out to be a pretty conversational medium. And that's probably, rather than thinking about it as informal or personal, even conversational, probably best describes a good way to approach it.
We're talking with Sarah Milstein, co-author of The Twitter Book, The Definitive Guide to the Planet's Most Useful and Effective Communications Channel. Sarah, it's quite opportune that we're speaking today because Twitter has been really at the heart of so many of the organization behind so many of the protests in Iran this week. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, so what's been interesting to see is that in a number of crises over the past couple of years, Twitter has emerged in earthquakes, in a couple of political situations in Moldova, but it's very high profile in Iran. And what you see with Twitter is that it's a tool that's hard to shut down because it works over text, it works over the web, it works over a couple different ways on the web. It's not centralized in a way that a country or government and an institution can just shut it down. And that means it's a really key tool for people who are in the midst of a crisis. They can use it to keep sharing information, exchanging information, learning from each other. We saw a similar thing in Mumbai where people used Twitter to share what was happening very immediately and to try to get information about how to stay safe and so forth. It's reached a new level in Iran, and I think that's what we're seeing a lot of mainstream media coverage of that. But it really reflects the nature of the tool, which is highly distributed.
So what are your thoughts about where this is going? I mean, can you look out a few years or 10 years, and where do you think Twitter is taking us?
Well, the big thing that Twitter has brought us is the idea of status updates as a medium of their own. You know, as I said, they emerged at about the same time that Facebook started their status update feature, and we had the idea previously in the away messages in IM. But with Twitter, the status update is the feature. That's the whole application. And increasingly, you see status updates as part of other programs. It's part of Gmail. It's part of LinkedIn. It's becoming part of a lot of different kinds of communication services. And whether Twitter remains a big player in the status update world, we don't really know yet. There's an opportunity for them, but we don't know. What we can see now is that the idea of status updates is going to be around for a very long time, and it will evolve in a number of ways, I think, to replace some of what email is being used for now, but we're all completely overwhelmed with our email. In some ways, status updates can alleviate some of that. I think we'll see it emerge for other kinds of things that are useful where we don't have great tools right now, and it's not going to make email go away, but it will replace some of what's in your inbox right now.
Before we let you go, what are some of the most common mistakes or pitfalls that people make on Twitter? And you've already mentioned one when they don't personalize it. What are some of the others?
Well, for both individuals and organizations coming to Twitter, it's important to be aware of the messages that are addressed to you or that are about you. The easiest way to find those, if you're on your own Twitter account page, on the right-hand side, you'll see a little at symbol with your username. So for me, it would say at Sarah M. That's my username. And you need to click on that to see the messages that have been sent to you or that mention you. And it's a good idea to really keep an eye on those and to respond to the ones where there's a question or where somebody's saying something, particularly something really nice about you. You want to thank them, you know, give a little shout out to those folks. But that's where the conversation happens. And it's fairly easy to miss. You want to stay on top of that.
Sarah Milstein is co-author of The Twitter Book, The Definitive Guide to the Planet's Most Useful and Effective Communications Channel. And Sarah, I would be remiss if I let you go and didn't ask about Lori Berkner. You are also the co-founder of Two Tomatoes Records, which brought us Lori Berkner, which is huge at my house. And tell us who Lori Berkner is and how you helped to bring her to the world.
Lori is a children's musician. And part of what distinguishes her music is that not only do kids love it, but the parents usually love it too. So if there is music in your house that you're going to have to hear 10 times a day, it should at least be music that you yourself will like. And Lori and I were childhood friends and lived together in college and afterwards. And at some point, she was working as a preschool teacher and parents started asking her to record the songs that she was playing with their kids. She recorded them. We made a handful of cassette tapes and thought they would last for 10 years, and I think they sold out in about a week. And we started to think, oh, maybe there's something here. And that's turned into a really significant career. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. She's amazingly talented. And thank you for your part in helping to bring her to my house, at least, in many other homes. Sarah Milstein, the book is The Twitter Book. Sarah, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.